It's called love.
Okay, this is June 23rd, and the topic this month is refuse.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it's great to be back. It's also great to be in the room with all you gods and goddesses. And I hope during the 2 weeks that I was away that you remembered that you aligned yourself with this thing that we call God, that you learned to think thoughts, God thoughts, after it itself. That is the only way it's going to work in your life, if you align yourself with this thing that we call God and try to start thinking the way you think that God would think. So many people want so many things in this life, but they never align themselves with God. And until you align yourself with God and you start to think as God thinks, you're not going to get what you want in life. So you have to give up that other thinking that's going on in your mind, that you can't do it, that it isn't true. Whatever that thinking was, give it up right here and right now. Now, along with that, I'm going to tell you something. We all know the Ten Commandments and the idea of honoring your mother and your father. But you know, Jesus said, you must give up your mother and you must give up your father and come on to me. What does that mean, give up your mother and give up your father? Well, I just returned from the land of Nod, and I'll tell you what that means metaphysically. To give up your mother and father means to give up the old, to give up what they taught you, to give up all that stuff that's not working for you anymore. That's what it means, give up your mother and father. It doesn't mean to dishonor them. You cannot dishonor your mother and your father. You know, when people say, I have a friend who always says, oh, my mother was just mean and hateful. Now, this woman is older than I am, so she has to be 70-something. And I just don't bother to say a word to her. You'd think you'd be able to give that up, you see, and honor your mother and your father. But what we want is when the Bible says, or when Jesus said, give up your mother and father, metaphysically that means give up the past, give up that training, give up that conditioning, so that you can live your own life, so that you can be free to think for yourself. Your parents were wonderful, but they fought. So why do you want to take on their thinking processes? Now, in the land of Nod, they never give up their mother and father's ideas. They build on that. You know, most relationships are an extension of the first relationship you ever had. And the first relationship you ever had is with your parents. People get married and they extend that. They extend that relationship that their mother and father had. They keep doing it. This is what happens in this land of Nod. And they have no idea. These are decent people. But they're loaded with rage. They're loaded with all kinds of misunderstanding. These people have done everything right. They have a family. They have money. They have success in their jobs and so forth. The picture that they paint is absolutely beautiful. But they have no peace of mind. They have bought into this world. They have bought into this society. Now, all those things are nice to have, but you have to know that that's not everything. And they think that's everything. So now they have everything. And they wonder why they're not happy. They wonder why they're filled with rage and so forth. Now most of them, you see, are the same age as I am. But they never got out of it. They never got out of the situation that they're in. They never got out of the thought atmosphere that is constant in Pennsylvania. And it's constant in the area where I live, and I know it's constant in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's just absolutely rampant what these people do. They just keep repeating the same thing and the same thing, thinking it's life. And then when it is discovered they're not happy, they can't figure it out. Because, look, I've done everything right. I did everything the world wanted from me. I produced children. I did this, I did that. But they're not happy. Now, most of them also, you know, run to the church, thinking that's going to save them, and that doesn't save them in any way, shape, or form. I'm telling you that if I hadn't run into this teaching, I would be just like them. I would be worse. The other thing that I know perfectly well, if I didn't have this teaching and be able to control my thinking and control my mind, I would no longer be on this plane of action. I would have checked out a long time ago because there was no satisfaction. There was nothing that I could see of value anywhere. And that's when I'm in the land of Nod. They have everything, but they have nothing. They have nothing. All they have is pretense. And they live on that and they wonder why they're not happy people. And you can feel it. You can see it. So now I'll tell you about the mind and how it works. I say that my cousin, not at my brother's, simply because Patsy, his wife, had just got out of the hospital with some back operation, which in the land of Nod, you just let the doctor operate on you. And they have no idea what should... I said, well, what did he do? I don't know. Did you ask? No, we don't ask. They don't ask. They just let that... Well, it's a doctor. He knows more than I know. You know, are these people idiots? Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, operate on her. And Jack, my brother, I said, well, what, did you ask? No, I don't know what they did to her. This is ridiculous. So anyway, that's how they go. You cannot do that to yourself. You know, you have a right to ask questions. I remember when I was taking care of my father and I had gone to Pennsylvania to do that. In the hospital, I would ask the doctors this and tell them this, that, and the other thing. And my brother said, Dallas, you can't talk to doctors like that. I said, what do you mean I can't talk to doctors like that? And he actually said, you know, Dallas, they're gods. You can't be doing that. This is before I knew I was God also, you know. So anyway, that part of it. Now the rest of the idea of mind and using your mind. My cousin said on Saturday, I don't know which Saturday it was, we were going to go to Gettysburg to band concert. And I said, fine. Well, I was talking to my brother and I said, well, we're going, we'll try to get to your house at 1 o'clock. And Dennis came in the room and said, oh no, we can't do that. We're going to Gettysburg. We're doing this, that, and the other thing, Dallas. Make it, tell him later. So I said, Jack, it's going to be later. He said, yes, I understand. I said, so we'll meet you for dinner. So when we got back from the band concert, we called to say that we were on our way. The wife answered the phone and she said, Jack's been sitting here all day long on the porch waiting for you people. Where are you? So I wasn't on the phone. Jane, Dennis's wife, wasn't, she said. I don't know what they said, and finally, this Patsy said, well, you'll have to work it out, and hung up. So they said, well, do you want to keep going, Dallas, or should we turn around? No, let's go up and find out what's going on. Well, we got to the house. Now, here's a woman who just got a back operation, is in physical therapy, and should be in bed, right? No one at the house. All the doors locked. We rang the bell. We could hear the dog barking. We hear nothing. They were at home. They were at home. Now they're now here in the land of Nod also. And why you don't give up your mother and father. The daughter only lives 5 houses down the street. Mm-hmm. So I said to Dennis, let's go down and talk to Courtney and see what happened. Courtney, when I told her, she looked at me and said, well, welcome to my world, Dennis. I do this all the time. We sent the young man up, her son, up to the house because he knows where the key is to go in and look. He went in and looked and said, well, her pocketbook is here, this is here, and that's there. And the car is parked in the driveway. So I said, look under the bed. Maybe there are. So anyway, we never did get to see Jack. So I called the next day, I think, to see what was going on. Now, this is the point. So he said to me, you know, Dallas, I sat there on that porch waiting and waiting and waiting for you people. You never come. You never call. I tried calling you. You didn't. And he said it reminded me of Mother and Dad, the way they always sat and waited for people. And he said, the longer I sat there, the madder I got. And the more I thought of them, I just got absolutely furious. My brother is loaded with rage, by the way. I didn't say a word. I said, Jack, I apologize. There's no sense saying to him, do you see you caused this yourself? Mm-hmm. Do you see what your mind has done to you? It has made this whole incident, because he's still thinking like his mother and father. And he even said that to me. Reminded me of Mother and Dad sitting waiting for people. And the longer I sat there, the angrier I got. We have to control this. You have to control your mind. Nowhere in Pennsylvania, or the people that I know there, are able to do that. So these are the little, what we call the nits and threes of life. He brought that whole incident on. I didn't get to see him. I got to see him once in the 12 days or 14 days I was there. I went and set this up. Do it. He blew that. But he's never going to say it was my responsibility. He's never going to take any thing for that. So he'll just keep repeating that. He'll just keep doing that. And this is what these people do. They just, and I would have been the same. If I would have stayed there in that thought atmosphere, this is the way these people live. And they never forget a thing. Never forget a thing. If you did something 30 years ago, it's right at the tip of their tongue to tell you about it. Do you remember when you did this? No, I don't remember when I did that. Well, you did this, and this. They never forgive people. They never forgive. I watched the whole thing, and I was very proud of myself. Yes, I had a sleepless night over the whole thing, thinking this, that, and the other. But only one night over it, and I was able to forgive them, and I was able to forgive myself, and the whole thing dissolved. We have to learn to forgive these things. This is not the way life is supposed to be. Those people think this is life. And they love that little thing. Now they'll be telling all kinds of stories about that. You know, oh, well, my brother and this, you know. Don't do that to yourself. This is what this teaching is about. To give up all that stuff. If you want to find peace of mind and understanding, you can't have that crap going on in your head all the time. You cannot. So it's very difficult to communicate with these people. Very difficult to communicate. Now my cousin and his wife, I send them things. I've talked to them for years. In fact, they've been to my class and so forth. They're trying their best, but they live in that thought atmosphere. One They have a beautiful suite in their basement for me. And I noticed that the fire alarm or whatever those things are called was hanging out of the ceiling, and I thought, well, it must have dropped. And I said to Dennis, yeah, and he says, yes, he said, that just dropped down. I guess it needs Velcro, it needs something. And I said, oh, I never even use it. And I ripped mine out of this wall. You should have seen them. You ripped it out of the wall. Well, there could be a fire. There could be this. Don't you know this? No, I don't know that. I said, well, I didn't like it. It would go off at the strangest times, like you making toast or something like that. I couldn't take it. Now, they get so upset about that. Absolutely. That. I don't know why. You were in my house today, weren't you? Did you notice I have a candle burning there?
I know, it's very dark. Your dog bit me, though.
Oh, did he? Well, he will bite you.
He is very dark.
But you're so worried about that. See, I'm not worried about, because I don't have this, whatever those things are called, that anything is going to happen to me. But see, they are. They are into that little bit of fear. They can give up some of it, but they can't give up all of it to them. Then on the highway was even worse when we could go somewhere. Oh, we'll never find a parking space. This will last. I just sat there and I said, yes, Lord, under high burden. Well, everywhere we went, we found a parking space practically in front of all at where we wanted to go. But they knew nothing about that either. Nothing. So, I am so delighted that I discovered this teaching. And I'm so delighted that I'm able to apply this teaching. And I hope that and wish that for each and every one of you. It works, people. It makes your life better. It absolutely. And I can't even remember the old way of thinking when I think, oh my God, I used to be in that morass of stuff. Anyway, it's gone. I don't need any of that anymore. And that's what this teaching is about. We may say it's about God. We may say it's about, it's always about your mind. It's always going to be about your mind. And what is going on in there? What are you thinking about? And are you able to forgive and look at most things? Most things mean nothing in the long run. We just, our mind grabs onto it, you see. So, don't do that to yourself. Let it all go. Forgive all these incidents. And laugh at them. I'm able to laugh at my brother now. And I'm delighted that I'm not in his situation. He's so loaded with rage, so angry at everything. And then he has a wonderful 2 children, he has a wonderful house, you know, everything. Of course, he's German, everything is spotless. But there's no peace of mind. There's no peace of mind. So it doesn't matter. Then I visited my cousin. They're the ones with the trains, planes, buses, and you name it, they have it. Her husband is now 64 years old. He has diabetes, she tells me. Never saw him. Very rarely do I see John. I happen to like John, my husband, but he's always out golfing or this or that or out with the boys getting drunk. So she has this beautiful 18th century home along the river, just fixed up to the nines, and oh, rose gardens and lap pools, and oh God. She says, well, I go upstairs at nighttime and my husband passes out drunk on a chair watching television. Does all that money mean a thing? What's it doing for them? What's it giving them? Any type of peace of mind? Any type of companionship? You see? I want money. Don't get me wrong. But I'd rather have peace of mind. I'd rather have money and peace of mind. You see? But they don't. They do not, because they do not know how to control their thinking. They do not know. Now, the last thing that Margaret said to me, I have to do something about this, Dallas, because it's killing me. I said, well, then you do have to do something. She'll never do anything. She'll never do anything. They won't. I lived with my mother and father. My mother was leaving my father for 30 years. She never left, you know. She'd make attempts and maybe go away for 2 days, but she'd be right back again. You see, that's no way to live either. So, the other thing I want to tell you, Pennsylvania was absolutely beautiful, was absolutely gorgeous green. And when you fly into it and all the fields and all the farms, and then on the way coming home, I flew to Flint, Michigan. And I didn't know Flint, Michigan had all the farms, too. My goodness, they flew over farms and farms and farms. This country we live in is absolutely beautiful. And this world we live in is absolutely beautiful. It's an absolute wonderful gem. And we must know that too, you know. And I'm not into nationalism, by the way. I'm delighted that I live in America. But I could live other places just as well and just as easily, you know. But we all have to see that beauty and so forth. And that, I think, is another thing in Pennsylvania. The beauty's all around them and they never see it. Because they're into their head about sitting on the porch waiting for somebody to come and then getting stewing and getting angrier and angrier. And I knew that was going to happen because I knew that history with those people. But they don't know that you're repeating the same thing that your parents did. So you see, when you do that, you're not living your life. You have picked those things up from somebody else. So you have to let them go. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, you must give up your mother and your father. You must always give up the old to be able to get the new. Always give up the old. We want to hold on to the old because we think it's valuable. You see, we think it means something. It means nothing. It means nothing. Many people think that we have to have the past so that we can have the present moment. But that is not true. We all have a past, and that's exactly what it is, past. There's nothing you can do about that unless you drag it into your mind, into your consciousness. So all that stuff in your past that you didn't like, don't dwell on it. Let it go. It's dead. It's dead. It no longer exists. Now the other thing, I hope that you people are becoming more and more aware of where you live. Do you know what I mean by that? You live in your mind. It may look like you're living out here, but you're not living out here. You're always living in your mind. It's the mind that's doing it all. The rest of it is out here, absolutely, and it's a projection. But you live in your mind. So you want that mind, if you want that idea of living in your mind, that is the kingdom of heaven, your mind. And it's your kingdom. And you are the king of that kingdom. So make it the very best kingdom in the world to live in. You can do that. It has nothing to do with the outside of life. Nothing to do with the outside of life. You see, my brother, and I could have tried to explain to him, but I would have gone nowhere. He had no idea that he was the cause onto his own experience. He caused that whole thing. But you see, his projection said that I caused it. I caused nothing. You see. So you have to look at those things and say, who is doing it here? It's always going to be you. It's always going to be you. Who is causing this? I am. I am causing this. Because I am the cause under my own experience. You see. And we refuse, don't we, to know that. We refuse to know that, and I don't know why the mind, the ego mind, does not want you to know that. But learn it, people. You live in your mind. Your mind is causing everything in your life. Everything in your life. Now, in the land of Nod, they think it's always circumstances. Somebody's against them. Somebody else is doing everything. They have no personal power whatsoever. It's enough to drive you crazy. No personal power. What did they do to your back, Patsy? I don't know. Now, you think that's, I'll tell you why that sounds so awful. It was an 8-hour operation. An 8-hour operation, she doesn't know. She has no idea what they did to her. Now, would you do that? Some of things like that? No. But they take that for granted. I didn't say a word of them. I'm not getting into that one either. My fact-finding mission. I'm just sitting here gathering up these facts and wondering, how the hell did these people get to be 70 years old and know nothing? They know, and they don't have one iota of what life's about. They have not one iota of what their life is about. They think, like my brother's had that flower shop for 40 years. He thinks that's his life, the flower shop. Your job is not your life, people. It's not your life. The sad thing, I think, is that this is not only happens in Pennsylvania, it happens everywhere. It happens everywhere. And that's what this teaching is trying to wake people up so that they can do something with their lives, so that they don't keep repeating the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. When I was growing up, we had friends that lived in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Coatesville, you know Coatesville. It's famous for the Lucans or Lycans steel mill. Well, they Lucans, I think, steel mill. And these people's names were Kaufman, and Rialda and Paul Kaufman had two sons, Mickey and Chipper. They lived on a street called Fleetwood Street, was with us. Right in front of the house was an elevated Pennsylvania Railroad. When you'd go to visit them, they knew when the trains were coming. You know, the television went up or whatever, you know. And at nighttime, it shook the whole house and the whole beds and stuff, you know. Okay. But it was nice, you know. I'm not putting that down. So anyway, Paul worked for the steel mill. And they worked, I don't know how, well, he retired from the steel mill, but during the time that they lived on Fleetwood Street, they finally got enough money collected to move to another area town overlooking the park. And it was a beautiful house. Now, they're all row houses in Pennsylvania, by the way. You know, all these small towns are row townhouses, you know, with the front porches and all that kind of stuff. Beautiful place. Backyard, the whole schmear. Very nice. So, Nikki and Chipper graduated from high school. They went to work for the steel mill, like Daddy. They both got married and moved back to Fleetwood Street and started the whole damn cycle over again. Whole damn cycle over again. And this is all right. I mean, I'm not putting this down, but they never look at that. They just, it's just a repeat of everything, a repeat of everything, you know? They have no idea. Now, Jack's daughter, Courtney, who lives five houses down, why would you want to live five houses down from your parents? You see, I would move immediately. But they're not going to. So they'll just keep repeating the same thing and the same thing. You see? Don't do that to yourself. Refuse it. Say to yourself, I'm not going. I have a life of my own. I have a mind of my own. And I'm going to think for myself. You see? Learn that. If nothing else in your life, learn that. And if you learn that you truly are the cause onto your own experience, it will save you a great deal of anguish and so forth. Because in the land of Nod, they blame everybody and everything for everything. They never say, They all blame. I moved away from blame years and years ago. And when I hear people trying to blame, I think, oh my God. It's so ugly to blame somebody. But they still do that. Now the daughter said to me, after she said, welcome to my world, she said, well, you know, both mother and dad are victims. They always play the victim role, and they do. They play the victim role. So, don't be a victim. We are not here on this plane of action to be victims. We are here to be victorious. And we have everything we need to be able to do that. And when you align yourself with this thing we call God and try to move up. See, I could have moved down and I could have come into their thing and fought. I know how to do that, but I hate it. But you have to move up and look at things differently. You see? And when you're able to move up, you see, then none of this means, none of that stuff with my brother means anything. I love him like I love anybody else. You see, I'm not going to hold anything against him. But we have to raise up in consciousness so that we can look at that and let it go and say there has to be a better way to go through life than these people are going through life. How much longer do you think they're going to live? Oh, my brother's had two heart attacks, and then when I was there, before we came, he stumbled because his one leg doesn't work too well, tripped and fell against the car and then down onto the concrete step. They had a great big, and they had to take him to the hospital with a concussion. You see. They don't know that either. They have no idea what, you know. So, don't do it to yourself, people. You know. And I'll go back again. Not recently, not soon. And I'll be nice to them. They are my family. And I'll be nice to them. But you have to get out of that thing. I don't even fight with them. I let them go, you know. The next day, the wife said to me, well, I read my devotionals, and it says, something about a kangaroo never goes backward because of its tail. It can only go forward. I don't know what that meant exactly. But she, I don't know if she was apologizing. If she was saying we have to go forward, I have no idea what that meant. But it was in her devotionals that morning. So they use God up one side and down the other. But they do not realize that they can start having the same calls. See, you can't say that you're godlike and so forth and blame. If you might not, if you're in a church or any teaching and you think you're on a spiritual path to something and you blame something, you've been knocked off that path. You're not on that path. You cannot. Your mind cannot allow it. You cannot allow your mind to do that to you. Blame is the worst thing in the world. You see, do you think God blames anything? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we cannot blame, and we have to learn to get over that. Look at it. You know, there's a choice. There's always any choice in the world you can choose. See, if my brother knew he could have chosen out of that, but he doesn't know he can choose out of that. Why? Because he doesn't know that he's not his mind. He thinks he's his mind. So it's going to torture him. It's absolutely going to torture him. And he's going to go off this plane of action, completely loaded with rage. Completely loaded. There's nothing I can do about it, nothing you can do about it, and you see all that. I can forgive him, I can forgive myself, and I can do prayer work for him. But that's all. Talking to him will never work. It's not going to work. They can't understand it. You've been there. You cannot, they will not understand it. Now, the other thing about the land of Nod is, you know, it was too long. 2 weeks is too long. And I should have known that. Now, I did put a shield down over me. But, you know, it's so corrosive there that I could feel it starting to eat right through. I could feel it just nibbling, you know, sort of like piranha at you often, because it's just a constant with them. It's a constant mindset that there are victims, that you can blame somebody. That nothing is ever right, nothing is ever perfect for them. Something is always wrong, you see. Now, not only because Patsy was recuperating from this mysterious 8-hour operation, I don't stay at their house. It's beautiful. You would think you were in a magazine ad or a fine furniture store or something. But there's no atmosphere in the house. There's no atmosphere of love in the house. There's nothing. It's just vacant. It's just vacant. You see? You don't want that in your life. Then they wonder why they can't figure out life and stuff with them. They can't figure out life because they have no life. They're just going through the paces. Just going through the paces. So, the reason why I don't stay at their house is because in the morning, as she's serving you coffee, she's saying, you know, that really pisses me off. That's the first thing in the morning. That's the first thing in the morning. Then my brother comes out and he looks at me and says, you know, that really pisses me off. I thought, I don't say a word. I think, what pisses me off? What is pissing you off? You just got up. You know, you just opened your eyes and you're already pissed off. They live in that, don't they? They're always pissed off at something. Live that way. How can you live that way? I can't, and I don't want to. refuses people, refuse to do it. And when you go on these things, go on a fact-finding mission, see how the people live, and decide, do I want to live that way, or don't I want to live that way? And leave them alone, because there are, when I go home, there are too many of them, is the problem, you see. So they're all thinking that exact same way, and you can feel it after a while. I think, oh, I got to get out of here. This is too much for anybody. You cannot do it. So in your own life, refuse these things. Don't let it happen to you. Say to yourself, I refuse to behave this way. I refuse to be what the world wants me to be. You see? They lived up to everything that the world promised them. Remember, if you had 2.5 kids and you did this, that, and the other thing, you were a success. They've done everything that the world tells them that should bring them success, but it never brought them happiness. It never brought them love and understanding. So what's the sense of it? There's no sense to it. You can't do that to yourself. Refuse those things in your life. This whole teaching, you know, is about the idea that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And we can choose to go through life differently. These people have no idea that they have a choice. They would not understand choice if you tried to explain it to them. Because they would say, no, Dallas, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. Well, it's not that way. It's that way in that neighborhood, in that community. It's that way because they're all thinking the same way. They're all thinking the same way. Now, Patsy, who's always been religious, she used to live across the street from the church. And that was the Methodist church. And they would have Wednesday night, I think it was Wednesday night, prayer services or what. Her and her mother had to rush right out on Wednesday nights to get home. They only lived across the street from the church. They had to get home on Wednesday nights. Why? Peyton Place, that's all. Peyton Place. I'm telling you, they would stampede. They'd push you out of the way to get to that television set to see what they were doing on paper. See? You can't do that to yourself. You know, I don't care if you watch Peyton Place. You know, it doesn't bother me. But you don't rush to watch Peyton Place. You know. And then say to yourself, you know, I'm a God-fearing person, or whatever they say to themselves. But they do that kind of craziness. I guess a word for them would be they're all schizophrenic. They really are. And you don't know. That is the worst thing with these people and that community. You can't trust them. And what do I mean by that? You never know when they're going to explode. You never know when they're going to take the axe and get you with it. No, you can't. Am I right about that? You can't tell when that axe is going to come out and get you. You know, and who wants to live in that situation? You know, but this is absolutely the way they run their lives. You know, and they're out always to get someone. Always out to get that person. I'll get that person. My little pretty, I'll get you. So, anyway, back to Patsy. They belong to the Pine Tree Baptist Church in Harrisburg. It's a very old church, built in 1700 or something. So Patsy said to me, on the way out of the church, I just told the minister, this is what's wrong. You just let people walk all over you. You cannot do that. You must do this, and this. They love to tell people how to behave, even their own minister. Even their own minister. I'd have given her a kick right off the door. So refuse those things in your life. And if you're around these people, just observe it and make up your mind, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. I refuse to be at these people. I refuse. Now, I grew up there 18 years. I'm so damn glad that I'm out of there. I am so glad that I'm out of there. I'm so glad that I found this teaching. Absolutely the best thing that ever happened to me. And I have been able to honor my mother and father, but I'm also able to give them up, you see. I knew the situation with my mother and father. I lived there. I knew how they stewed and carried on as somebody called and said they were coming, and if those people weren't there exactly at that moment, those people went ballistic, just absolutely ballistic, you know. See if we'll ever have them again. I'm not inviting those people ever again. Look, they can't even get here on time. No, this is. I could have been the same as my brother. I lived in that atmosphere. But I was able to give it up. He is not able to give it up because he doesn't know his choice that he can give it up. So he fell right into that trap. And that's what the mind sets up for you, is traps. And you fall into them. Refuse to allow yourself to do that. Just say, I am not my mother. I am not my father. I am thinking for myself here. I am thinking for myself. We all have that. Tapes running around. Some people say that, you know, the past runs us all. Well, it runs us all if we don't know it. Once you discover and become aware of it, you can stop that. You can stop all those old tapes and so forth that are going on in there. And that's what this teaching is about. It's about God. It's about all those things. But it's about more. Look at these people back there. They all go to church and so forth. They wouldn't know church if it came up and hit them in the head, you know. They don't have any idea what it's about. You see, if you belong to an organization like a church or any organization, a teaching or anything, and it is not helping you understand life, then it's not serving you at all. If it's not telling you that you can control your thinking, that you have a mind and you know how to control it, can learn. That's what we want. All that going to church and so forth and singing all those wonderful songs and so forth and coming right out and not remembering one damn thing that you learned in church, it's not doing you any bit of good. You're playing the game of life, and you're playing it very poorly. And those people play it poorly. But they all play it. They're all in it together. So they think it's real. And they think this is the way life is. And life is not that way. So refuse it, people. Think for yourself. Use this teaching. Use this teaching. And know that this thing that we call God is absolutely for you. They do not know that in the land of Nod. They think God is against them. They really do think God is against them. How did they get that idea? I have no idea. But I'm here to tell you that God is for you, that the universe is for you, and that you can succeed in anything that you put your mind to. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Beautiful.